This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On this most glorious day, I welcome you to South Congregational Church, to our virtual service. Today it may seem tough to rejoice. We're gathered in our individual homes and not here at church. We aren't certain about the future. And yet our church has faced uncertainty many times in the past, and God has made a way where there is no way. We remember the words of Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of God never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Today, may the peace of Christ be with you. This is no ordinary time. It's no ordinary time in our nation or in our church. For the time being, we'll worship by podcast. I hope to have other media platforms up later in the week for our classes and to share good news. Here at South Congregational Church, our leadership will be in constant communication, monitoring the situation and consulting with our denominational as well as local officials as we seek to be faithful and safe. We are suspending programs at least until March 24th, and we'll make decisions sometime during the week of the 23rd. But whatever changes come our way, we can be confident that God is with us. I'd like to invite you to take a moment for prayer. And take a moment in the silence just to be still and know that God is present. Present in your life and present in the world. And that God is with you as you listen to this program today. Let us be still and know that God is. Holy God, we come together to remember the enduring realities of life, to remember your love for us, to remember that you are the heart of the universe. You are the center, present everywhere, that has no circumference and embraces us all. We come here, O God, remembering our needs and remembering your grace. We lift up to you needs of mind and body and spirit. We ask for wisdom in the guiding of our lives and the wisdom in the guiding of our nation. We ask for your blessing. Holy One, remind us that we are always connected and that your loving energy flows to us and through us to others. We lift up our concerns and we give thanks for this most glorious world and our chance together today. Help us, O God, to be your companions in healing the earth. Today's readings come from Exodus 17:1-7 and John 4:5-15. They're about the waters of life and God's living waters. From the wilderness of sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as God commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test God?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to God, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go forth. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested God, saying, "Is God among us or not?" The second reading comes from John 4, the woman at the well. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Jesus' disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" For the Jewish people do not share things in common with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become in them a spring of water, gushing up in eternal life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is truly the word and wisdom of God. I once had a friend who was a dowser. He would walk across the fields with his divining rod in quest for places to dig a well. And every so often he found something. While the scientific accuracy of dowsing has been questioned, my friend would regularly discover water in unexpected places. He believed that water was everywhere, you just had to know where to find it. Today's scriptures are all about water. Holy water is everywhere. We just need to open our senses and discover God's resources for us, even in the most arid of times. We can't live without water. And when we're thirsty, nothing beats cool, clear water. Hydrating has even been found to combat colds, flu, and the current coronavirus. Now, the Israelites were master whiners. God had delivered them from Egypt. They had seen wonders. And yet, you're only as good as your last miracle. So at the first challenge, they're ready to call it quits. All they see is desert. They anticipate dying of thirst. They even threaten Moses' life. Now, God has been faithful every step of the way. God has freed them from captivity and is their companion. A promised land lies ahead for them, but all they see is desert. They see themselves as alone, abandoned, and without resources. They want to go home, even though they would be slaves in Egypt. Slavery seems preferable to life in the wilderness. They're willing to be humiliated and enslaved, for at least in slavery they had food and water. Freedom is risky business, and you never know what will happen next. But God provides for them, for water was everywhere. Moses strikes a stone and out it flows. They had everything they needed to flourish, but they lived in scarcity. Could it be that here on Cape Cod, we are not only surrounded by sea and pond, but also by God's bountiful blessings ready to spring forth in our lives, if we get out our spiritual divining rods and trust God's abundance? John's gospel portrays an unexpected encounter. The day is hot and Jesus is thirsty, and he finds himself in the company of a solitary woman going about her daily chores in the heat of the day. Now, water doesn't mean much to us. When I get up, I touch a button on my refrigerator, and there's water for my first glass and to fill the coffee pot. I don't think twice when I do my laundry, turn on the dishwasher, wash my hands, or take a shower. But my experience and yours is exceptional in the history of humankind. And in parts of the world, people still carry huge jars, often on their heads, for miles just to get one day's water supply. Water is, after all, the stuff of life. We can't live without it. And climate change threatens millions of people with water shortages, and water rationing may even be in our grandchildren's future. Can you imagine being surrounded by water and having nothing to drink? In his encounter at the well, Jesus is breaking down barriers once more. Barriers that we take for granted. First, he's talking with a woman. He's talking with a foreigner, a Samaritan woman, someone that Jews looked down upon, and the Jewish folk were looked down upon by Samaritans as well. He was talking to her, something no religious leader would ever do. But Jesus is thirsty, and she's right there beside him, and she's willing to talk to him and serve a male outside her community and her family, and that will ruin her reputation as well. We don't know the story. She has a history and is no doubt looked down upon and pitied because she's outlived several husbands and hasn't gotten around to marry the one she's living with now. But she is a seeker. She is a seeker, and she wants more out of life than just the basics. She wants more out of religion than words and rules. She wants to experience God. And so she asks Jesus questions. She wants to know about living water, about something that will satisfy her deepest needs. She's willing to cross boundaries and risk her reputation to seek the truth. She knows the neighbors will be gossiping, but when new life is on the horizon, you're willing to put your reputation at risk. She wants living waters. She wants not only to quench her dry throat, she wants to experience life in its fullness, something only God can provide. Right now, we need living waters too. We need spiritual replenishment. Water is all around us, but we still thirst. Give us living waters, O Holy One. We can't fault either the Israelites or the woman at the well, because we often wonder if we have enough. We wonder if we have enough, not so much water, but energy, talent, giftedness, financial resource, or possibilities for the future. We wonder if we'll make it through the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. And when we look at the need for living waters, each of us is unique and with unique issues. Each of our thirsts requires a slightly different spiritual beverage. And deep down, for all of us, the quest is serious. Now, I often use my sermon writing as an opportunity to question myself, to ask myself, just as I ask you, what am I thirsting for? Where do I need refreshment? Like you, I have plenty of water and enough resources to get through the day, financially and in terms of gifts. I live in a lovely home with people I love and spend time as a pastor with people I respect and have grown to love. And then there are the Grands, their parents, and my other professional adventures as a writer and a teacher. But I worry about running dry spiritually. Do you ever worry about running dry spiritually? What if I can't write anymore? What if the right words elude me? What if I can't walk on the beach due to health issues? What if I find myself debilitated? What if I catch the coronavirus? What will I do with my days if I lose the desire to study, to write, and to teach? And who will I be when I retire? These are questions that make me thirsty. They're real questions for me. And I suspect you have your own. Certainly, today, we wonder about our church as we worship remotely and not in our familiar sanctuary. Will we have the resources in talent and treasure and numbers to carry on a decade from now? Will we be able to continue the good work that's emerging now? Our homeless ministries, quality programs for children and adults, green spirituality, and a place of welcoming for all God's children. We wonder, at least I wonder, what the current suspension of services will, what difference that will make. And I wonder how long before our next service together as a community. Abundance and scarcity are a matter of reality, but also perception. You can have all the resources you need and feel like you're all alone and have nothing to work with. But I'm here to tell you today that here at South Congregational Church, we have living waters. And each one of us has the living waters of God flowing through us. Our ministry can take many shapes. And we need to trust God's guidance, especially in this time of coronavirus. God has given us so many gifts and possibilities that when we, like Moses, strike the rock, the water will flow to nourish us. It will flow to quench the needs of children, to fill the cups of vulnerable people, and satisfy those who've been turned away because of their ethnicity, race, sexuality, and economics. There is living water right where you are. There is living water here in South Congregational Church, wherever you're sitting today, because we are much more than a building. We're an ever-flowing stream of God's love for each one of us and for the world. There is plenty of water, enough to continue our legacy of 224 years and explore possibilities that our founding parents couldn't have imagined. So today we pray, God, give us your living waters. God, fill our cups so that they will never run dry. God, give us jars and jugs to share, quenching the spiritual thirsts of our neighborhood, refreshing the forgotten, and going forth across the globe so that others can rejoice in wells built and lives well lived. Thanks be to God's living waters. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you are always giving us living waters, that these waters well up from within us and flow forth to others. Quench our thirsts, refresh our spirits, that we may be your companions in healing this good and holy earth. Amen. It's been a joy being with you today. It is curious to sit in my living room and to preach a sermon. But in Christ, we're all connected. In Christ, each one of us is joined. In Christ, we're all companions. In the week ahead, my friends, open your hearts. Don't let the news cycle, don't let the various spins on the coronavirus get you off kilter. Trust God. Listen to the scientists and the physicians. Reach out to your neighbor. These are, as Thomas Paine said, the times that try a person's souls. But these are also times of greatness in which we can call forth the better angels of our nature. Then we could be patient, caring, generous, because God has given us living waters. And so now as you go forth, may you experience living waters in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, Redeemer, the one who inspires us, the Mother of us all. Let us go in peace. Amen. I look forward to seeing you. Feel free to call me if you have a need. I'm here for you. Our staff is here for you. Pray for your neighbor. Reach out for your neighbor. Love your neighbor, because God is with us. Amen.